sharing something a little bit different from last time. And this is nothing that I come up with by myself, but I saw it, and or I heard the message, and I was like, man, that's really good. And then I was like, that would be share worthy. And then about 2 weeks later, I got my opportunity. So I was like, oh, I better go take some notes on that. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about what we need to do when we come under attack of Satan. And our main verse that we'll be pulling from is in Psalms 42. A little background on this is, okay, so this is David in Psalms 42. He's fleeing from Absalom, who's trying to take over. Absalom is his son. and he's got a lot going on right here when he's writing this. He's kind of feeling down in the dumps and depressed. And I looked up some statistics about depression and anxiety. 246 million people suffer from depression, and about 40 million suffer from anxiety. That's about 1 in 5 people. And I mean, I can't say that I fully can relate to depression. I'm sure some people in here can. I can definitely relate to the anxiety. You know, just being right here causes me anxiety. So I'm having to use what I'm going to share with y'all. So Psalms 42. This is David. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Just to catch you up on what's happening here, we need to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Starting in verse 13. So this is where David is. He's escaping from Jerusalem. It says, now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So David said to all of his servants who are with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And you can read on all the way down through 23. But the gist of that is he is running. He is trying to flee from his son, who's trying to take over. And it looks like, you know, he's having to pick up. He's losing everything. He's losing his family, his home. And he's really sad. We can see back in Psalms, he's really sad that he's having to leave the church. And, you know, when we're down like that, that is the opportune time for the devil to come in and start pleading his case over us. And therefore, as we go on, go look in 2 Samuel 16, starting in verse 5, you'll see a guy named Shimei, and he's playing that role that the devil does in our lives. Now, I'm going to start in 7. Also, Shimei said, thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Skip over to 13. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and kicked up dust. And that's so the devil. He called him a rogue. He called him a worthless person. He's like, you worthless person. And the devil knows. He knows when to hit us. He knows, You know where our pressing points are. He knows where our insecurities are. He knows where our hurts are. And so he knows those spots to try to hit. But that's just how he acts. Just like Shimei, he is like, you know, this is your fault. You did this to yourself. You're worthless. All while David is trying to flee. So flip back down to Psalms. So we'll get back to where he's. It starts off, you know, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's a song, and I'm sure most of y'all know it. It was written back in 1984. I had to look it up and listen to it. But if we, he's writing this as he's fleeing. He is under attack. And it made mention that, you know, a deer is not going to just wander into your yard panting for no reason. Like, you're not going to see him just panting like a dog at any given time. The only time a deer will pant is when it's under attack. And when they're being chased. And just a fun little fact, they can use up to 80% of their water reserve. And if they're chased hard enough, they'll die. But once that deer gets away from that enemy, the first thing they're going to do is seek water. They've got to get to the water. And here, you know, David, he's being chased. And he's crying out, you know, my soul is thirsty. I'm tired of running. And he's panting for God. And God is our water. He is where you're going to get that refreshment. So there are four things that we need to do when we are under attack. The first thing we need to do is we've got to recognize that we're in a battle. You're not just sad. You're not just having some emotions. It's a real battle. It's an attack from the devil. And it's a spiritual battle. In verse 3, it talks about while they continuously say to me, and he tells us who they are. He says, while they continually say to me, where's your God? Verse 9 and 10 kind of clarifies who he's talking about. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And that's, you know, that's another thing of the devil is, you know, where is your God? He starts taunting you. He starts bringing all this stuff up about, well, you serve God. Now look what's happened to you. You serve God and you lost your loved one. Or, you know, here you are, you serve God and your marriage is a complete wreck. Or you lost your job, your child has gone astray. But we have to attack back. And we can use this phrase. This is a phrase we can use when he starts bringing all this junk in, is the Lord rebuke you. And we can back that up with scriptures out of Zechariah 3:2 and also in Jude 9. In Zechariah, it says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And then over in Jude, it says the same thing in Jude 9. Yeah. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring up against him a reviling accusation, but he just said, the Lord rebuke you. So that is something that we can say to the enemy, the Lord rebuke you. some subpoints in realizing that we are in a battle. It's real. It's a real battle. It's a real spiritual battle. As the enemy's coming at you and he's trying to jump on you and he's trying to push you down. But at the same time, subpoint B would be, it's a lie. You know, you could say it's real, it's a lie. That's an oxymoron, but it's a real lie. Satan is the father of lies. And when he starts all of his, you've blown it, you've messed up too many times, things are never going to work out for you. You just say, the Lord rebuke you. You know, how dare he talk to a child of God like that? But he's deceiving, he's cunning. And sometimes, you know, he'll bring up some evidence, you know, when he's trying to pull all this stuff up at you. We had to remember it's false evidence. Thinking back on Joseph and his coat, you know, they brought back that coat and it was torn and it was bloody. And his father, he assumed that Joseph had been attacked by a wild animal. But we know that's not true. But he had evidence of that. That's what he assumed, you know. He had that coat. The second thing, we need to stop listening to yourself. In verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go to the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. It's very woe is me attitude. And, you know, if you're depressed, don't try to cheer yourself up, because essentially you're just a depressed person talking to a depressed person, and it's not going to work. We've got to get around those people that are going to encourage us, that are going to lift us up. We got to let the Word speak to us. And, you know, turn on some worship music and just get in His presence. So with number 2 being stop listening to yourself, number 3 is start talking to yourself the right way. We are composed of a spirit and a soul, with our soul, of course, being ourself, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And usually that's, you know, that's where our problem is usually with our emotions. That's where it's stemming from. And we've got to stop listening to the soul, and we got to start talking to the soul. In 42:5, it says, "And why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" Cast down meaning like literally pressed down, depressed. And disquieted meaning, I looked at a lack of peace, alarm, anxiety, fuss, worry. And we just gotta start letting our spirit cheer us up, just as David did. And we got to recognize who's doing that pressing. We got to realize that that's not coming from God. You know, that is who's pushing you down. Satan is. So he's talking to his soul, you know, like, why are you so worried? Why are you so down in, I think the Message Bible says, why are you so down in the dumps? Why are you crying the blues? And then in Psalms 131, he actually talks about his soul as a baby. It talks about being a weaned child. And in that context, from what I can tell, that weaned child is content in its mother. But thinking back to the weaning process with our soul and our spirit, it's not always easy to wean a child off that bottle when we start doing it. They're going to usually throw a fit, you know, when you start taking that bottle away. And that's kind of what our soul does. It wants to throw a fit. But our spirits have to rule over our soul. Our soul, if you'll think about it, our soul comes alive at conception, and that's when we start developing our personalities. And then later down the road, once we get saved, that's when that spirit comes alive at salvation. So for a long time, possibly, the soul has been in charge, and we can be a very soulish person. I know my daddy didn't get saved till he's like 70. I think he was 72 or somewhere around there. He's over 70, you know. So his soul had been in charge for that long. Well, here comes this spirit alive, and so the spirit comes along and it says no. We're not going to blow up at people when we don't get our way. You stop that. And, of course, the soul is going to throw a fit. And he brought up a good point. You know, this all kind of relates back to the principle of the older will serve the younger. And there's some examples starting in Genesis 25:23, talking about Jacob and Esau and Rachel and Leah, Joseph and his brothers, David and his brothers, and even the prodigal son. But do not get ahead of yourself, Daniel. You don't have scriptural proof that you're the favorite. This is a spiritual principle about the older will serve the younger. And when we're under attack and the soul starts its complaining and all that, the spirit should rise up and say, stop it. And then lastly, the fourth thing we've got to do is we've just got to get to God. Like that deer wants to get to water, we've just got to get to God. He is our water, His word. Looking at a few of those verses in 42:5, they're all going to seem very similar, but they're not. 42:5, that last little part, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I guess I should read all. 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. And then 43:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. They all sound very similar, but they're not. In verse 5, he starts out, for the help of His countenance. And then in 11 and 5, he says, my face, or my countenance. Essentially what he's saying is when I look at His face, it changes my face. And when I look at Him, it changes me. You know, we can read people's faces, even if they're trying to hide it. Like, I know when Paige or Gina, my coworker, I know when they walk into a room and something's wrong. I just know it. It's you know, and even me, like, you can read my face very easily. We show our emotions on our faces. But we can change that. We can change that by looking to Him, because that's what He's saying. He's like, when I look at His face, it changes my face. And, you know, all these emotions of anxiety and depression and just whatever we're going through, they're real, and we shouldn't belittle that or try to suppress that. You know, there's times when we're just going to feel sad, or, you know, when we've lost a loved one or anything that's going on. But don't let Satan attack you without attacking back. I heard you shared it, Miss Diane. She said, what's her name, Priscilla or something? Yeah, she said, you know, if he's going to be scheming against you, we got to have a scheme against him. If it's a war he wants, it's a war he's going to have. So we've just got to, if he's going to attack, we're going to attack back. And this is, we know how to do it. So looking back at those scriptures, though, we see that David's being driven out of Jerusalem. And like I said before, he's very sad about leaving the church. But he also remembers that you don't have to be in church to serve and praise God. And somewhere between 42 and 43, he realized that he can go into the presence of God even when he's running from the enemy. So, I mean, in a nutshell, you know, when you're under attack, get to the water. I also read, it was interesting enough, that when deer, they head for water when they're being chased, not only because they're going to need it later, but that also eliminates the scent track from their enemy. They lose track of them when the deer gets to the water. So the Bible is our water. That's what David was, you know, trying to tell us. And in closing, you know, this year can be a very joyous year. But, of course, there's probably going to be some speed bumps along the way. There's probably going to be some sad times, some sad memories, you know, that come up along the way. And, you know, if the devil's going to be so cruel as to attack you in those moments, what we've been saying the whole time, we've got to attack back and just get to that fresh, cool water and just spend some time in His presence.
Just kind of break the ice. This has not got anything to do with what I'm fixing to say. But just because the devil, and more especially God, to test my patience and love in daily life, when we arrived from working on our house earlier, there were two random children in our yard. And I don't really do well with that. So I was like, what is this? So we have kind of some crazy neighbors, but we're like, okay. So we get out, and they're like, hey. I'm like, hey. And we got some stuff over there they're playing on. I was like, hey, won't you not do that? Won't you just go home? And they're like, well, we're going home. I was like, won't you take your dog too? Because I got my dogs, and I don't want people messing with them. So they looked at me, and they were probably like, they ain't never dealt with somebody like me before, but I was like, that's fine. So anyway, I tried to walk in love. I didn't yell at them or say anything bad like I have. Anyway, so pat on the back for Paige today. Anyway, so I revert to humor to try to break my nervousness too. So if my kneecaps are shaking, y'all just bear with me. Anyway, so last time I titled my message as Unraveled. So that was back in November, and it's February, so some time has passed, and I'm not really as unraveled anymore, but I would like to still touch back on that, just to kind of go back, just because it helped me build my feelings and build, you know, as to help me make me feel better in the moment. So anyway, so, and I also said that last time, if you were here, which was most of the women, I cried a lot, so I'm going to try to keep it together this time too. So anyway, if it doesn't work out that way, we will survive together. Anyway, so first and foremost, I wanted to say, you know, we all have different paths and struggles and roads in life. My struggle has mostly been chocolate, milk, and a smart mouth. But anyway, my husband could advocate for that. But first, I'm going to read Jeremiah 29:11-14 in the New Living Translation, because I'm allowed to do that. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you will look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." So that sounds like a pretty good plan to me. So the last time, I think it was on like November 1st, which would have meant Halloween was the day before. So we dressed up as 80s retro people, and we were pretty cool. I had on these really weird leggings, and I had like a run in them, and so I cut it, and of course I had a huge hole. So I looked at that, and I was like, man, that's kind of like my life sometimes. Like, I try to fix something, and then it doesn't work out real well, and then it just expounds, and I'm like, man, I'm in a big, huge mess right now. But God can always get you out of that mess. So Jeremiah 1:5, I'm going to be flipping because I don't have cool little tabs. He says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." So if he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, then he knew we would be here. He knew that we would have a purpose. And purpose has been another, I guess, a second title, because I titled this Unraveled 2.0/purpose. So maybe we could call it re-raveling, or anyway. So Psalm 139:13-18 too is what I want to read. I need to just shake it all out. Okay. 139. Okay, so "you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." That I am, is wonderfully complex. "Your workmanship is marvelous." I agree. How well I know it. "You saw me No, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And then I wake, and when I wake up, you are still with me. So if he thinks about us more than the grains of sand, for those of you who have not ever been to the beach, there are a lot there that you can see that you can't see under the water. So it covers a lot of ground. So for a period of time last year and somewhat into this year, I felt like I was unraveled a little bit. Daniel seems to keep his emotions more in check than I do. I'm an emotional person, whether I'm happy, sad, mad, hungry especially. Hangry is the word. Combination. We try to avoid it at all costs. So that's why I snack a lot. So in Christmas of 2018, I quit my job because we were working on furniture and trying to work on our house, and we had all this stuff. And so from then to November of last year, I was at home. And I had worked every day. If I wasn't in school, I was just quickly learned I was not the type to sit at home and watch TV and eat Cheetos all day. So I had, anyway, so we prayed about it, though. It wasn't just a decision that we took lightly. We prayed about it. We had gotten words of confirmation about it, and we did it. So I applied for my real estate license because I love houses, and that's still something that I want to do, but I went to take the test last year, and I failed twice. Failed hard. Okay, so y'all can laugh, because I'm sure all of y'all failed hard at something, okay? I failed, like I said, failed twice, which I could reapply, but I cried about it more than twice, is what I said, so. But around that time, too, I laugh now, because it's not really funny, but anyway, we had dogs, you know, and we don't have kids, so dogs, I won't say they're the closest thing because we're aunt and uncle, so we count our nephews and niece before our dogs. We do that. We're that classy. So, but around that time, our dogs, two of them were just not, I don't know if they made it to heaven. I hope they did. I'm one of those that believe dogs make it to heaven. I really don't know if they did or not. But then our other sweet little dog got run over, and I was just really emotional. Like, you know how you have an amp, you turn it up louder, you turn the radio up louder? It was jamming. Like, my emotions were, they were pretty high. But anyway, so, and Dan was offshore at that time, and it was not fun being away from him by any means, because he can make me want to bite nails into. Some people have been witnesses to that, but he's also absolutely my safe haven. So I remember one time, just a funny, I remember I called him one time. My in-laws live right next to us. Yeah, I live right next to them. Yeah, whichever way you want to look at it. But when Daniel was gone a lot, I mean, they probably were like, well, this chick go home. I mean, my gosh. So, but I was out there one night, and I had to go down to the shed. Now, we ain't got any lights down there, and it's dark, and I'm 27. I don't really like dark. Now, I know that Jesus is with me, but if he could just light up beside me down there and keep it light, that would make it better. But I called him while he was probably 500 miles away, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm just laying here. And he said, what are you doing? I said, walking across the yard. He's like, oh, it's dark. Yeah, I said, yeah, I know there's not really anything you can do, but I just feel better talking to you on the phone. So anyway, but sometimes, you know, I cannot vouch for every woman because I have not ever been every woman, but I have been Paige, and I know Paige, and sometimes Monday may be, well, yeah, we got this, or yeah, we're going to roll on and keep doing this. And Tuesday might just be like, how's this going to work? And Daniel's just like, well, it's going to be fine, baby. And I'm like, well, how is it? You know, I mean, I'm just being real. How's it going to be fine? But anyway, he loves me and keeps on keeping on. Anyway, so, but at times I have thought, well, I'm getting older. Like, I had to color my roots today because I have some gray hair. That's a problem. I'm 27. Gosh, anyway, and I'm just thinking, I'm 27. Why don't I have my whole life together and all these, you know, aspects of the word? You know, I'm like, man, we need to get it together. I need to pray about this more. But then I'm like, well, some other people don't have it together as much as I do. So we'll just pray for them and pray for me and keep on going. Anyway, so now we're in a different spot. Daniel's not offshore anymore. He's home. And that's good for me. He may think he might want to go offshore sometimes, but and I have a new career of insurance agent, which I'm excited. I passed my test the first time. It was easy breezy within 15 minutes. You know, I'm not bragging on me because I prayed a lot and cried a lot before. So anyway, but and we have two new dogs, and they're cool. They're so cool. I wish I could bring them to church with me because sometimes they need Jesus, but can't do that. But in the midst of non-fun times, we have to move forward even if it hurts, but we have to do so while speaking the goodness and blessings over our lives. So in the midst of me failing and in the midst of Daniel being gone, I couldn't just say, well, we will never have that or we'll never be here or there, because I'm going to tell y'all, working on a house by yourself is hard. Working all day, working on the house, it's trying. We just got to hug each other and say we're going to get through it. It's the most trying thing I think we've ever done, but I know it will be worth it, especially because of our neighbors.
Amen.
But if you say what you have, and that I'm tying that into you going through rough patches. Everybody has them, you know. Everybody may not go through a rough patch of losing their parents young or, you know, having a sickness that you can't describe or can't cure, you know, worldly cure. Or maybe not everybody has been in the spot living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, everybody has different struggles in life. And living with certain struggles, you don't have to struggle. I mean, you will probably, but you can. It's all depending. It just depends on how you look at it. Like, you're going to have what you say. So Mark 11, 22 and 25. Your face is red. I can feel it. Y'all just bear with me. I got sunburnt on my roof yesterday, but that just showed that I did manual labor on the roof. Daniel wasn't the only one. So anyway, so I don't want to do that version. I want to do another version. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. So, Mark, get the right translation. Okay, so Mark 11, 22 through 25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart.'" Now, that's my problem. I believe it when I say it and I pray it and I'm like, okay, God. And then a few days later when it's not there, which sometimes that can happen, most of the time it doesn't, I'm like, well, here we are again. But he says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and anything covers everything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Now, I've had to make a list about those people. I will say that I feel like that I semi forgive quickly. Like, I'm not really a grudge holder. I really, truly want to be on good terms with everybody all the time. Now, we might have a little spat, and we may argue and fuss at each other for a minute, but eventually I'll be like, hey, you want to go get a coffee or something? We'll just make this better. But anyway, so that ties with that. Proverbs 18:21 also, my kneecaps are shaking. 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." So, that second part means you probably want to be quiet sometimes. But the tongue can bring death or life. Now, when you're in certain circumstances, like, say you just lost your job, you can either loathe and self-pity and worry about it and cry about it, which, I mean, that's okay to do that too, but don't say things like, "Well, I'll never get another one. I won't have one as good as that one." Because if you would say the right thing and that God has something better for me, then you'll probably get just that. You'll probably get just what's better for you. So I've had to catch myself in trying times and say, "Watch your mouth." So purpose, which everyone has one, like I said, and then, you know, watching what you say, and if you're believing for something in the midst of waiting, I have learned that God does not get in a hurry for you, and I know that that's preached in a lot of places, and I've heard it here, maybe not in that context of country girl shaking, but God doesn't really get in a hurry just because you try to prod him. He's not going to. So, in the midst of us waiting on, you know, Daniel to come back home, or waiting on this, that, and the other, I have learned that timing is precious and valuable, and there's not enough of it sometimes in the aspect of trying to get your house done, but God's timing is so important, and he does not get in a hurry. So just keep praying, keep believing, and keep confessing, and receive it by faith. Now, when I say confessing, I mean good confessions. So my last scripture is Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. It says, the title of that of this passage says, "A time for everything. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." So there's a time for everything. And if you're believing for something, if you're unraveled and you've forgotten your purpose, make sure you're speaking the correct things over your life. Don't wallow. Don't self-pity. Lord knows I'm talking to myself sometimes because I just want a pat on the head. So, but when we think we're unraveling, we just need to remember the one who knit us together.
Amen. Oh, I forgot my whole brother. There's plenty more up here. Well, I want to thank you, Brother Jimmy, Miss Ann, for allowing us to share. Praise God. And all the ladies, the women's meeting was awesome. Rise, Warrior Bride. I just want to say my daughters from heaven are better than y'all's daughters from heaven. I'm just kidding. We have a bunch of good daughters from heaven. I prayed my daughters from heaven in. I'm sure a lot of y'all did too. So praise God for spiritual women that are leading the their family, you know, helping with the families, and especially with grandkids, sweet, precious grandkids. All right, so I'm going to put me a timer up here because y'all know how loud, long-winded I can get. All right, well, I just prayed about, you know how y'all pray about, especially the ones of y'all have shared before. What do you want me to share with Lord? What do you want me to share? I mean, when you talk about God, there are so many things you can share. I mean, it's just like you can't run out of things, you know. So I've just been praying about it, and the title of what I'm going to share is Go With His Flow, Walking With Him. And so I feel like that one time I was just praying and I asked the Lord, like, what is the meaning of Christianity? What are we supposed to do? Like, we know we're saved, you know, and we go to church, we pray, But what are we supposed to, you know, like, what is the main focus? So he led me to this book. I don't know if any of y'all have ever read Francis Frangipane, but he's an awesome author. And he said that he believed that the major two points of Christianity is to know the heart of the Father and to be transformed into the image of Jesus. If you just think about those two things, I like to get basic with things like, you know, the ABCs of Christianity and of what we're here for. I'm like they were talking about, we are here for purpose. You know, we all have purpose. We all have a reason why we're here and for what we're doing. So as I talk to you about going with this flow, I'm going to just share some testimonies of what I've dealt with throughout my years of Christianity. I got saved in 1980, so I've been saved 40 years. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1987, so that's going on 33 years. And it's still a journey, like every day. And I feel like the closer you get to God, you're just like, I don't know, and I need to know more. I need to know more, you know. But when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost, you're like, man, I know a lot of stuff. And I need to tell a lot of people. And all of a sudden, you start getting this rejection, you know, of tradition. You know, so I had to get some wisdom. Thank God for the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Anyway, I feel like one of the scriptures that we all need to apply to our life is John 3:30. Now, we're not going to put all these up. You can just write these down and go back and look them up. But I feel like this is something that John the Baptist said. It was he was the forerunner of Jesus when he came in the flesh. And, you know, there's some messages that he's going to share before he comes back for his, you know, to get us. And I feel like that John 3:30 says that John the Baptist says, I must decrease and he must increase. And I feel like y'all know that I've shared with y'all some of the visions that God has given me. And I feel like that we are just on the verge of such an outpour of his glory and fire that we've never seen, the world has never experienced. If you're walking with him in any form or fashion, you know that that's about to happen. It's like you feel this expectancy of knowing that it's going to happen and you're going to get to be a part of it, and it's so awesome. But you're like, Lord, what is my role in it? Just let me do what I'm supposed to do and let me be where I'm supposed to be and order my steps. Lord, I thank you that my steps are ordered of you and that I'm going to be at the right place at the right time. And I think that what I've experienced more, to me, the supernatural intrigues me. And people say, well, I've heard people say, well, you don't need to be messing with that supernatural stuff, you know, because you might could get off on the wrong track and get off them demons that start talking to you and all this kind of stuff. Well, I found out that that's not true. Well, demons will talk, I promise you. I've had that happen recently. But God, you can't have God without the supernatural, because that's who he is. He is supernatural. And so as we go into this this phase that we're fixing to experience, the wave of glory that's coming to the earth, it's already starting to hit. You know, I've shared something with y'all. Well, I think I've actually shared it here about the vision God gave me on the way home. And it was an open vision of the wave of glory coming to the earth. And it just blowed my mind, you know. And I was like, Lord, what is that? And he told me it was a wave of his glory. And I just didn't tell nobody what I saw. I might have shared with Lynn. I don't even remember. But I just didn't share it with nobody. And then I started reading where other people had seen it. And I was like, well, yes. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see it, you know. So I think that as we go with his flow, that we're going to experience the supernatural. Or as one of my favorite TV programs is Sid Roth. I don't know if everybody knows Sid Roth. It's like he goes, welcome to It's Supernatural, where it's naturally supernatural. And then he has all these stories of all these people and these encounters that they have with God. And, you know, and I don't know. I was just raised, and I'm not going off on any denomination, because if you're a born-again child, you are part of my family. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever. You're still part of the family. And we don't talk about, you know, that's just, but I've chose to, like, want more of God. You know what I mean? As much as I can have of him. So I remember when I started experiencing the supernatural, it just kind of blowed my mind, because I'd never experienced that. You know, I was the type Christian, and y'all have heard this before, that I went to church and I dusted my Bible off and I went back the next, you know, I went to church every time the door was open nearly, but I just didn't read my Bible. I depended on a man to tell me what the Bible says, and he wasn't telling me the right thing. And that's where a lot of people are in church. You know, they go to church, but they're not hearing what they need to hear. Thank God for faith outreach, where we hear the word of God. So anyway, when we talk about the supernatural, we're talking about relating to or being above or beyond what is natural. And it, you just can't explain it because it's supernatural. It's above the natural. And so when I started learning about this and I started encountering God, I call them these God encounters, you know, or these kisses from heaven. It was just so wild that when I started experiencing him, and I told Lynn, I'm like, why does God do this for me? It's so humbling that he would show me things and he would let me experience the things he has. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know. You know, I felt like I was born in Missouri. You know, I need to be the show me person. You know, show me, show me. I never prayed for that. You know, it's just like he lets me like experience it. And I praise him for that. But I remember that, first of all, let me say the definition of flow. It's like if you're going, flow is defined as to move freely from one place to another in a steady, unbroken stream, and it's unhindered, steady movement. And you know, the Bible talks about in John how that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. We're all familiar with that scripture. And you know, we don't need to be like, I've got to sit on that second row, the second seat, the third. You know what I mean? We don't need to be like that. We need to flow with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost may tell you to sit behind Sandy tonight because she needs you to pray for her tonight. You know, we need to be, the Christian life can be so exciting. People that say the Christian life is hard, I just totally disagree with them because it's not. It's an adventure. And I'm not saying we don't have battles because we do, and that's one of the things I want to talk about too. And I didn't have any idea what Jennifer was going to share on her page, but anyway, we got to go with where he tells us to go. And part of that is just dying to us. We just got to die to us and totally surrender to him. And as we do that, it becomes an adventure. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about how that we're changed from glory to glory. You know, and some of us are at a different levels than other people. You know, and I think that's been one of the problems in the body of Christ is we compare ourselves to other people. We don't need to do that. You know what I'm saying? God didn't call me to run Miss Ann's race. He didn't call me to run Jackie's race. He called me to run my race. And that's what we need to do. We need to run our race, and we need to encourage Jackie and Miss Ann and Dina. We need to be a part of lifting people up and saying, go for it. Go for what God's got for you and what God wants us to experience through you. So anyway, Revelation 12:11 is one of my favorite scriptures because it talks about the blood of the Lamb and how that in the end days that we're going to be overcomers. And that's through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And so I think that one of the things that we need to do is we become disciples in him. We need to share our testimonies with other people. And it encourages them. Like Paige was saying, we need to encourage one another. And I think one of the things that's priority in these last days is to master. We need to master knowing his word. We need to master learning to hear his voice. That is so important. It actually can save your life. It can save your grandkids' life. It's so important. You know, I can remember, I never knew about hearing God's voice. And some of y'all have heard this testimony before. I didn't know you could hear God's voice. And so when I found out, it blowed my mind. I'm like, I didn't know. Nobody ever taught me that. And I remember one of the first dreams that I ever had in the spirit that God gave me, I was carried to a throne room. And it was just the most beautiful throne room I'd ever seen. I'd never been anything like this. And the throne was there, and I looked over to the side, and there was this archway, and there was this door, and this beautiful man walked through that door. And I'm like, this is the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my, you know, life. In my dream, I was thinking this. And so he come up, and he sat down on the throne, and I remember kneeling down to him, and I just knew in my heart he wasn't Jesus. You know, he just wasn't him. And so I looked around again, and here come another man, and he sat down on the throne. And when I bowed down to worship him, I knew that he wasn't Jesus. And so then, I'm talking about this third guy that come through, he like put the other two to shame. And he walked in, and he sat down on the throne. And I bowed down to worship him because I just knew he was Jesus. And I looked up, and his face turned demonic on me. This is plain as everything. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. I remember sitting up in my bed, and I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And he said, I'm trying to tell you that my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. You learn to hear my voice, Melody, and you learn to know what's real and what's not real, because the Satan will try to come at you, and he'll be in a disguise. The Bible talks about him being an angel of light, and he can be a minister of righteousness. He quoted the scripture to Jesus. So we need to be keen in discernment. We need to know, we need to operate in that gift. One of the things that's happened to me recently, and I'm not going to tell you exactly where that happened, probably some of y'all figure it out, but I was in this situation, and any time you walk in the Spirit, you can pretty much tell when the atmosphere changes. Some of y'all have experienced this. You know when you walk into an area when it's evil. So I knew that this place I was supposed to enter into was going to be evil, and I just knew it. And so I'm like in there before I walk in, and I'm under my breath, I'm praying, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I plead. And you cannot hear when I was saying it. I mean, I was saying it that low. And this person just sat straight up and just went like this. Satan detests the blood of Jesus. And I was like, totally calm. I just like freaked myself out. You know what I mean? I was like, I was just so calm. It's like the Holy Ghost rose up in me. And I knew I was protected. And it was just so, I knew the blood was powerful. I knew it was. But then when that demon spoke, I knew that I was protected. And so I gave this person a little bit and I said, man, you okay? It's just like he become his normal self. Yeah, I'm going to be okay. But I'm telling you, it's real. There's a spirit world out there and it's very real. And we have authority. The word says that Jesus has given us power and authority over the enemy, and he gave us his name and he gave us his blood. And so plead the blood of Jesus. We've talked about that. I mean, I don't think that's coincidence that happened to me recently. And we had the lady singing about the blood and how that Suzanne shared about the blood. And so we need to know that those are weapons of our warfare. Anyway, I want to talk about, you want to be able to hear the voice of God, and you want to be be quick to obey, because we can hear, but if we don't do anything about what we've heard, it's not really going to matter, you know. So anyway, John 2:5, Mary is, I don't worship Mary, but I can't wait to hardly meet her, you know, in heaven. But they were at the wedding, and all these people were fussing over these pots, you know, how are we going to go get these pots? How many pots are we going to get, you know? And she said, just whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And so that's what we—that's how we need to operate. If he says do it, just do it. And I just want to share some times of when some testimonies now, like when I had a prayer answered, and then when I was an answer to somebody's prayer. And I think if you want to walk in the Spirit and you want to flow with the Holy Ghost, you want to be on both sides of that. You want to be somebody that you can say, "Will you pray for me?" and you get a result, you know. And then you want to be the answer to somebody's prayer. So anyway, I can remember somebody, most of y'all maybe know Dale Whitlock. Do y'all know Dale Whitlock? Whitlock, you know Dale Whitlock. You're probably kin to Dale Whitlock, aren't you? Well, anyway, I can remember me and Lynn, we were just doing this Holy Ghost thing, or I was. I was like newer than Lynn. And I said, well, I just feel like that we're supposed to give Dale Whitlock some money. Now, me and Lynn didn't have a lot of money, extra money to be given away. And so we were praying about it, and I hope I'm telling this right. It's been several years back, so matter of fact, it's been like nearly 40. It's been a while, 33, so maybe I'll tell it exactly right. But anyway, I was telling him, I was like, I think we're supposed to give him some money. And he said, well, I do too. I said, well, how much do you think we're supposed to give? And he said, $100. Well, I was like about to fall off the floor, because I'm like, that's a lot of money for us, you know. And so I said, well, all right, well, you know we're supposed to do this? He said, yeah, I know we are. I said, well, I know too. And so I think we had one child at the time. But anyway, Lynn went over to Dale's, and he knocked on the door. And Lynn said, what you doing? Dale said, well, I've been walking back and forth praying. He said, you have? And he said, yeah. He said, what you been praying about? He said, well, I've been praying about that $100 I need for my books for college. And I was like, whoa. That was supernatural, you know. And then I can remember I was coming out of a room one night at the hospital, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you go to room 510 now. And I was like, okay. Well, I went down there, and this little girl that was a nurse, she was a good nurse, but she just didn't have a lot of cardiac experience. And And she had been pulled to our floor. Well, she had given some medicine, and it had, like, this patient, I don't know whether she gave it too fast or what happened. The patient had a reaction to it. It was just a horrible situation. The patient was down, heart rate was in the 20s. Like, this patient was dying on us. And, of course, we did everything we were supposed to do to get her back. We got her back. She's alive today, thank the Lord. But I'm thinking, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost for being obedient. And if you're in law enforcement or any kind of nurse at healthcare field, any kind of customer, we deal with people, I guess, just flow with the Holy Ghost. Flow, I mean, we all need to be doing that, you know. And then I want to tell about one day me and one of my best friends was driving down the road, and I said, well, I just think we're supposed to go this way. And she's like, well, okay. And yeah, I even try to drive where the Lord tells me to drive. You know, if he says go this way, I try to do that. If I could say, he says go this way, I try to do that. People think I'm crazy. My Baptist friend, Brother Wayne Cobb in Pontotoc. Y'all know Brother Wayne? Wayne Cobb? He said, well, I know that Melody, she's a nut, but she screwed on the right boat. She screwed on the right boat. There's some people making fun of me one time because I was believing God for something crazy. I don't remember what it was, but he answered. And he said, well, she screwed on the right boat. She may be a nut. So I'm like, well, I got my Baptist guy helping me out here. Anyway, this lady, we drove down this road, and all of a sudden we ran up on this lady, and she had had car trouble. Her tire went flat. And anyway, I was like, this other guy was there helping her get the flat off, but he had to leave. He didn't have time to stay. And I said, we'll help you get the, we'll carry you to Walmart, wherever you need to go. Well, we carried her to Walmart. We were able to witness to her, like, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? And she said, honey, yeah, I know Jesus. She said, I prayed that God would send somebody to help me, and I know you're that person. And I'm like, praise the Lord that I want to be an answer to people's prayer. How many of y'all want to do that? Y'all want to be an answer to people's prayer that pray? So I was excited about that. And then one of the times that it's just so important to be obedient. I could sit here all day and tell stories about how God has answered prayer and how you've been the answer to other people's prayer. But I want to tell this special story about Moms on Mission. And there was this little 10-year-old girl, and she was we had helped her. We were going to help her family for Thanksgiving. They called me and they said, Melody, this family don't have any food, and they had like 5 kids. And I was like, they don't have any food for Thanksgiving? She said, no, they don't have any food. And I'm like, well, we can't let that happen. We got to help them. And so us and our Baptist church in Pontotoc, we teamed up together. And they're like, we'll go. We're going to get these people some food. I'm like, all right. They said, well, we'll get the Thanksgiving meal. If Mom's on a mission, we'll just buy them some extra stuff. Well, you know, we try to limit like $120, $150, depending on the size of the family. But that particular day, I was pushing the buggy through Walmart, and I just kept putting stuff in the buggy. And I was like, why am I doing this? And I'm having this talk with the Holy Ghost about how we could help 2 or 3 families with this amount of, you know, money or amount of groceries that we're buying. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want? He said, you just keep buying what I tell you to buy. And so I did. And we checked it all out. Well, I got a phone call that day, and we carried it to the house. And all the kids that were there come and help. Carried it in, we ministered to them. And anyway, I got a phone call that afternoon, and come to find out, a lady that was in that church, Miss Judy, what's Judy's last name? Carwell. Yeah. She had been, this little girl, she was 10 years old, and she had been going over to Judy's house, and Judy's family pantry was full of groceries. And this little girl had been saying, I want God to fill my pantry like your pantry, Miss Judy. Judy said, we'll pray. We'll ask God. And God will hear you. And God's going to fill your pantry. I didn't know any of that. That little girl that afternoon, she come running across the road to Judy's house. She said, Miss Judy. She said, He did it. And she said, what did he do, baby? She said, he filled my pantry. God filled my pantry. I'm telling you, you need to obey what he tells you to do. It doesn't really matter if you understand it, because most of the time it's past your understanding. Most of the time, the enemy comes immediately to try to talk you out of it. Just do what he tells you to do. And just do it, you know? So, anyway. Let me see what else I'm going to talk to you about. I think that's about it. Hold on a minute. I'll make sure you know about his name and about his power and his blood. And, you know, I'm thinking about, like, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, I don't hear the voice of God like that. But you can. We all can. You know, sometimes we might get a little earwax in our ears, or a little friend of mine in Pontotoc, she said, you got your spiritual antennas up? You know, are you listening? I'm like, wherever you go, are you listening to what God tells you to do? Are you so into what you got to do? You know, God's messed my plans up a whole bunch of times, and I figured that out. If he's going to use you, he'll mess your plans up, you know. And I want to just share one more story. For those of you who hadn't heard it, I want to share with you my potato testimony. And I know I'm kind of bored some people with it because you've heard it so many times. But it's just God cares about the little things in your life. It's not the big things. It is the big things, but it's the little things too. And I had to learn that. I didn't know. I mean, I just thought, well, God only done big things. I didn't realize that you would be believing God for your phone bill to be paid, and your phone was going to be disconnected, and he would have somebody back up after they had left to come bring you the money to pay it. That's happened to me, you know? And I remember when my kids were I was in nursing school, and my boys were, I went to nursing school, they were 3, 5, 7, and 9, and that's crazy within itself to try to go to nursing school with the kids that age. For those of you who are nurses know that. But anyway, I really felt in my heart I was supposed to do that. The Lord had given me several words that I was supposed to do that. And I can remember one day I didn't have money for gas. I'd run out of money. And that was a situation. I had a family member that was loaning me money, and they quit just out of the blue. And anyway, God sent somebody else to take care of that part. It was just amazing how that worked out. And so that particular day, I didn't have any money for gas. And I had been praying on the way to school, Lord, I just thank you that your angels are ministering spirits. They're sent forth to them that they're heirs of salvation, and I'm an heir of salvation. I thank you, Lord, you're going to send me money in to get me some gas. And so we got home that night. One of our boys, I don't remember which one it was, they asked for some potatoes for supper. Well, we didn't have any potatoes. Now, I could have been on food stamp, all that kind of stuff. I realized that, but I didn't want to do that. I was trying to work and go to school and better my career. Or have a career, rather. I didn't have a career. And I remember I was like, Lord, I was over in the kitchen, and I wasn't praying this godly prayer, you know, like, according to the word. I was not doing that. I was, like, griping, like, fussing, griping to God. It's amazing how he just has so much mercy on you, you know. Just, anyway, I know better than that now, but I was griping. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand. I quit my job. I'm going to nursing school, like you told me to, and I don't even have any money for gas or potatoes. So I was just trying to fix whatever we had, you know. And I had friends I could have went and borrowed money from, but I guess I was too prideful. I don't know. But anyway, so I was, about an hour went by, and this preacher friend of ours from Grenada, he walked in, and he looked at me, and he said, Melody, have you been praying about something? And I said, well, yeah, I have. And he handed me a $100 bill. Well, I grabbed that $100 bill so fast that I know his head spun. I'm talking about, I was so excited about that. I thought I hit the lottery. You know, that $100 bill, I had me some gas money to go to nursing school now. Well, anyway, so he started acting really weird. And I was like, what is going on with you? And he said, well, I was driving down the road a while ago. And he said, and the Lord spoke to me. And he told me to go in the grocery store and to buy you some potatoes. And he had bought me us potatoes, and Lynn had been wanting, I don't ever tell it, I don't cry. He bought us mixed vegetables, frozen vegetables that we had wanted for soup. He bought the exact washing powder that we had more, you know, that we used. And I'm just telling you that I didn't care about that $100 anymore at all, because I was like, Lord, out of all this people down here on earth, and all the stuff that's going on, and then you care whether or not my kids have potatoes. Now, I experienced God's love right there in that kitchen in such a powerful way, because I realized God cares if you have potatoes. So now, that's how Moms on a Mission got started, if anybody wonders. Cause, so if you ever have to go grocery shopping for somebody, you make sure you get some potatoes. Anyway, so I remember the first time Andrew went with me, he's like, well, how does this work, Mama? I'm like, you get a buggy, you push it, and you pray in the Spirit. He's like, huh? I'm like, that's how you do it. We don't have a list. I said, no. The Holy Ghost is your list. You just do what he tells you. And he said, well, what if we get the same thing? I said, you won't do it. And he just looked at me. I said, I've done it too many times. It just don't happen that way. And I said, but whatever you do, get potatoes. And he did. And we went and we got it all. And sure enough, we didn't get the same thing. And, it's just amazing. But anyway, I just want to encourage you in the Lord. I want to leave you with this. You know, you can be an ordinary Christian or just like what I call ordinary. You just, to me, an ordinary Christian is you just go to church. You go home. You might pray. And you're just kind of satisfied. You know, I'm going to heaven when I die. You can do that. Or you can be a warrior in his kingdom. And the choice is ours. So I want to just read this to you, what the Lord gave me. And I just want to, and then I got a song I want us to play. And I don't know, tonight, I mean, I know that we're all saved. Most of us are filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. But do you want God to do something for you? I mean, like, download something from heaven to you? I mean, like, touch you in a way that only he can do? Like, pain maybe you've had for years buried in your heart that needs to come up out of there. Whatever it may be, resentment, whatever it is, you don't want to have any unforgiveness in your heart. You know, you don't want to do that. Anyway, God is going to do some things for people tonight. And I just see people coming down here. If you want to be prayed for, we can pray for you. If you want to come to the altar, God don't have to have somebody pray for you to download what he's downloaded a lot of stuff to me, and nobody wasn't praying for me. You know, I'm just saying, if you want more of him, and you want to like be used of him, he will use you. He will do it. And so I'm gonna just read this. How do you see yourself in him? Well, I'm a Christian that goes to church. I try to live right. I pray. I honor God, and I'm just satisfied. Or I am a warrior in heaven's kingdom. I have divine purpose that will be fulfilled. My life will be used while I'm here on the earth to advance his kingdom. I am a part of heaven's army that is being trained up to rise up in these last days. I am victorious in him. I have him going before me, and he is my rear guard. I have enormous heavenly angels surrounding me. I have his word as my shield. I am saved, healed, delivered, and protected. Freedom is mine because of Jesus. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. His blood covers my mind, my will, and my emotions, my body, my family, my friends, my pastors, my church family. I am at the right place at the right time because he orders my steps. I am his sheep, and I hear his voice clearly. I will obey his voice. He speaks, and I move. I have kingdom of heaven perception and reception. I am a kingdom warrior. Onward we march. And so I tell you tonight, are you with me? All right, then we just need to go with his flow. So I just want to encourage you tonight, whatever, you know, I know some of us have been in this a long time, but you can't ever not have more of God, like more of him flowing through you and more surrender of your life. So as they play this song tonight, whatever you need, if you want to just come to the altar and pray, if you want to stay in your seat, you don't have to come up here to the altar. God can touch you where you're at. Just pray. There's some of you in here, you've been carrying around stuff, just weighted you down. You just need to let go of it. Cast your care over on him because he cares for you. The word says cast the whole of your care over on him. You know, there's some things as parents you don't want to be going through. You're like, where's the button to push to fix that? You know what I mean? And you think it gets easier as your kids get older. No, you just got more people to pray for, you know? And so I just want to encourage you tonight. Just receive what the Lord has from you. For you, receive what heaven wants to download to you. And if nothing else, I'm like, Lord, I want to hear your voice so clearly that there's no way I can miss you. I want to be like that little tube system at the bank where you push the button, and if he needs something done, he'll say, Melody will do it for me. Just, you know, she'll go down that road she wasn't wanting to go down to help the person who prayed. You know, and that's how we all need to be. And I'm not, I don't mean to be bragging on me. All glory goes to God. But I'm telling you, he will speak to you. And you can hear him very clearly. And it's not for you. It's for you to usually help other people. You know what I'm saying? You get to a point, you get saved, okay? Then you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that is that river of living water flowing out of you. And that's to go out and help other people. You know, it's not all about you. We got to decrease and he must increase. So if you will, Doug, Karen, just listen to the song, and I don't know, just if you feel led to come to the altar, come to the altar. If you want to be prayed for, Brother Jimmy, you pray with us.
Praise God. Let's all stand, please. Thank God for the Waymaker. He never gives up. Aren't we glad? I heard two words as we were standing up here concerning you all. Well, the altar wasn't filled up. Nobody came for prayer. That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Because the word God has for you, you are world changers. World changers. You may say, well, or the devil may tell you, you're not doing anything. You don't do anything. If your car is parked in that parking lot, you're a witness. Because people drive by the hundreds and see your car parked here. And they know you're a believer. And they see that car parked here every Sunday, every Wednesday night. That's a witness. You are a world changer. You never know who's watching you. Amen? And say it out loud, I'm a world changer. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a world changer.
You're a world changer.
Amen. Look at your wife and say, you changed my world. But it's true. And we don't want to stretch anything out. But this is important. And that's a word that God from His heart says for you tonight. And that's who He called you. A world changer. We can sit right here in Oklahoma and pray for people all over the planet. And we do. And things change. I want to thank our ladies tonight. Jennifer, Paige, and Melody. Give them a big hand clap. Glory to God. So we'll do the same next Sunday. We hadn't made our selection yet. So ladies, y'all be ready. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, board meeting immediately following. Go, glory to God. Hallelujah. Was that Peggy? You got something, Dana?
I came in with 25 tickets, and I'm missing one. So please look at your tickets. If I gave you a ticket, I found one in my wallet. It was attached to a ticket. But I'm missing. There's one more out there somewhere. So look at your tickets. Karen, you were the last one I gave. Look, make sure you've only got one. If I've given you, huh? No, those are for this Tuesday. The second part is coming May the 5th. Jerry, you and Sandy, if y'all look at your tickets and make sure you've only got either one or two or how many you're supposed to have. We got it? Okay.
Jesus is good. World changers. Judy.
The Lord gave me this when we had our ladies' meeting. So it says, arise, arise, warrior bride. Go forth into battle. God is on your side. Your weapons are mighty, forged in heaven above, by God our Heavenly Father, with mercy, grace, and love. A spiritual battle you fight against sin, but it is a battle you will always win.
Glory to God. Thank you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Y'all enjoyed today?
Yes.
Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Lord, you're so good, we don't have near enough words to describe you. So, Lord, dismiss us now in the power of your Spirit and the knowledge of your Word. Lord, cover us in your love and let our light shine. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Tell somebody love them before you go, and be sure and be safe as you go home.